So, it's outside and everything is like fall looking and, all the things turning colors. And apparently we're going to get snow next week.
No, I didn't
Yes.
hear that.
Well, I just a little bit on Monday, which is, I don't know. I mean, I like snow. I like cold weather, so it's all right. But it feels like fall just started, and now I think we're rushing through it, which is kind of weird. No, no.
No snow. Every time the fall begins and the house has to start, the house like literally will be like, all right, I guess I'll heat it up. That's what my house is like old, and like when you hear the heater kick on in the basement, it's like, all right, here we go, another winter. Like you could hear the whole house just being like,
We're
all right,
still here.
I hope we can make it through to the spring. That's like the whole mentality of this house and this everything. And then I have the heat on in the leather shop, and the heat in the big shop broke, but Dave's gonna fix it for me. Thank you, Dave. Dave's got the parts to fix it for me. DTB Fab's coming in New York. He's gonna fix it for me. It needed maintenance, and I didn't have anybody maintenance it. So this is like the big maintenance to get it turned back on. So every time I used to, it, when it's like this, every time I walk in the big shop, there's always like a sense of like, because it's like stepping into a warm bath. But it's not like that. It's like stepping through the door into the outside again. So because there's no heat on it, but the horse barn and the leather shop building, the heat's on there. So every time I'm in the middle of doing my rounds around the house in the backyard, I walk in there and it's like, oh yeah, the heat's on. Oh, it's always nice. It's not necessarily
Eventually,
like that when I come in the house. It's like
I'd say
stepping
eventually
into
you're just going to move into that as your house and then close up
when the
the
bathroom and
outside.
everything is turned on. I think that's going to happen. It could happen. I could be the old man in the barn and just Airbnb the whole house.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I'm watching you. I'm watching you from the yard. Yeah. So I've been hanging
Let's.
out in the horse barn a lot because of the leather. I've been doing more leather work this week.
Are you going to ever call it anything else other than the horse barn? Because it's never had a horse in it, and it's probably never going to have a horse in it.
No, Rachel always says we should just call it the art barn. But then that's what everybody's. I call it the leather shop or the TV barn because everybody around, when I say I'm in the barn, they're like, which one? I just say the TV show barn. And that's what everybody around here knows, the TV show barn. I say, I'm in the TV show barn or I'm on the Main
The
Street
art
shop.
barn sounds like a terrible chain art
Yeah.
store.
The art barn. You
For
go,
scrapbook moms,
that's a good
you
idea.
should sculpt like giant metal numbers, a big one and a big two, that are like three stories tall, and put them
Barn one and
on the
barn two.
building, in front of the building, or whatever. And then
Barn
it's
one
just
and
like,
barn two.
yeah, barn one and barn two. Or,
Yeah.
some big icon in front of them, some cool sculpture in front of each one of them or next to each one of them that could be the identifier for that,
Yeah. Yeah.
So. By the monkey barn, or just have a giant monkey outside,
It's
or
not a bad
something.
idea.
I don't
A
know.
plasma cut something. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, and then I started the project this week. When I very first decided to work out of my property upstate, I owned my property before YouTube or anything. And I was a little intimidated by it. I was like, I have this house. I don't know what to do. I don't have the money to do anything really to it at the time. And then when I started getting more popularity on YouTube, I was like, I should have a shop upstate. And a timid approach to me building a shop was I bought two shipping containers. And now they're very expensive, but at the time they were $3,000 each. Now they're like $6,000 and $7,000, I'm told. So I have two shipping containers in the yard, and we plopped them side by side with about 15 feet in between them. And I never got to doing anything there. They're just full of junk right now. They're not completely packed. There's still plenty of room in both of them, and they could also be organized. But now that section of the yard is really getting my attention. So now here it is almost 12 or 13 years later. I haven't done anything to these two shipping containers. When the TV show was shooting in the yard, they spray painted the side that faces the building black just so in case there was a flash, you wouldn't see a shipping container. So one side of them was painted black, the other side wasn't. So they got shoved together over the time doing some yard work because the road kind of came through there when we built the big building, barn one. And so now I hired a guy, painted them black. So they're fully painted black now. And just yesterday, I had a guy come in and we're going to pick them up and move them, organize the earth underneath them because right now the earth is tilted. So the two of them are just like sitting there. They're kind of crooked. They're not quite straight. And I can't move them. They weigh 10,000 pounds each. I was able to shift them around a little bit with my backhoe, but not enough to really put them where they need to go. So I'm going to get the guy who I bought them from to take them out. We're going to prepare the ground there, and then I'm going to put them back, turned 90 degrees to where they've been for 10 years, and I'm going to have an open space in between them for, so it's going to be an open garage. We're going to put a roof on top. Me and Rob have been figuring this out. And I'm going to have another shop. So it's going to be the industrial shop. But it's really just going to be an outdoor space to put the backhoe and the tractor and lawn implements and stuff. So it's really just going to be an outdoor, open air storage.
This kind of reminds me of Pete Townsend of The Who. He used to put a big number on his guitar. I think they were all Les Pauls. And So if you look at old footage or old photos of him playing, each one had like a number like 2, 5, 9.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you need a number system for your workshops.
Yeah, so this is going to be outdoor workshop number 6. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
You need your own address system, your own phone book for your different
And you shops. Know what's crazy? So I have the two shipping containers drawn in Illustrator, just everything drawn to scale. And I'm thinking, what would the truss look like? I could hire a company to just do steel, so it's just a thin steel top. And so wouldn't it be nice if it had a hand-carved truss? Because they only need like 6 of them, like front to back is 40 feet, about 6, maybe 7, who knows? So I thought, what if I get Brett, this is the guy who built my barn, he built the horse barn. I was like, what if I call on Brett to build me 6 really fancy trusses? Because I would only just pay for the trusses. It's not like paying for a whole building. It would be a little less expensive than I paid for the horse barn. And so that was on Saturday afternoon. And I haven't seen Brett in like 2 years. The next morning, I bumped into him at a garage sale.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. We were at a flea market. And I said, I was just thinking of you yesterday. And I told him what my plan was. And he's like, send me some pictures. I'll send you some pictures. Like he said, he's done that. He's built trusses that go over shipping containers. We'll make something. So that's the plan. I mean, it's going to be springtime before any of this really gets done. But the groundwork is going to get done before the winter.
Are the shipping containers bolted? Are they solid to the ground where they wouldn't? Shift.
No, they're just sitting on dirt. I did have them on wooden poles. They say you need airflow underneath them. And I had them on wooden poles, but they just got smushed into the ground, like sideways, just like a log. They were just sitting on like a round log just to have a little bit of raised up space. But no, they're just sitting, I'll send you pictures, they're just sitting on the muddy ground. And I was able to pull them around a little bit with the backhoe, but like I said, not enough for me to be like, okay, this is how it's going
to
be.
And I guess if you lift them up onto something, then you have to be able to have a ramp going into them, even if it's a short distance to be able to get things in and out of them.
Yeah, no, so we're just going to do a pad that's like a few inches high.
So they're going to be sitting on a pad.
Yeah, well, a pad of gravel, because I can't afford a pad of concrete right now. But we're going to level the ground and put them on a pad of gravel.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture now. So what you're seeing is just all muddy around them. And they're already in this picture, you see the two ends before they were fully painted. They're already turned 90 degrees to that now. But that's only because I'm just trying to make a plan. But they have to go completely out of the way and then get put back. You see, if you see the pictures that shows the two containers and then the backhoe, as it goes back towards the backhoe, that would be the back of my so-called garage, outdoor garage. It's about 4 feet down. So the whole ground is on a hill. So there's a lot of backfill that has to happen.
Yeah.
That's my latest workshop. I'm going to just change the name of the channel to Jimmy's Workshops.
Workshops.
This is going to be really cool, though.
It'll really be an outdoor space. Yeah, it's just going to be an outdoor space. I'm not going to try and heat it or close it in or anything.
Yeah.
But we'll have a roof on it. I got some reference pictures I found. And now that I've Googled it a little bit, every 2 minutes I open up Instagram, I'm getting fed.
Yeah.
I'm getting fed shipping container stuff. So I just sent you one, but it'll look more elegant than this. This was just on Facebook the other day.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Now you guys are going to get the ads because we're talking about it.
Right. They're listening.
Unless you sit on your phone. So I'm working on that, and then I'm working on this chair project, which I'm really excited about. It involves everything. Wood, walnut wood, steel, straps and blacksmithing, and then leather. So it's... A few years back, I made these stools where it has these footrests that are welded on the legs, welded in place on the legs. And I want to explore that idea more of taking wood and wrapping steel around it and welding it in place so it can't come off. No screw, no nothing, no nothing over time will ever get it off unless you cut it off with an angle grinder. So these chair sides that I made are going to be connected with a few key steel rods left to right with cuffs that grab the wood. So the wood's going to get grabbed like this, and then I'm going to weld a rod between them, and then over that I'll put leather. And the rods will be far enough. A lot of people know my plan, and they keep asking me. They said, will you feel the rods when you sit on the leather? No. See, and so I'm going to make the steel rods come down further.
Having a cuff around the wood, do you, and this is, I don't know the answer. This is why I'm asking this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a danger of that wood swelling in that cuff or not being able to swell in that cuff? Or would it swell in the other direction, like in the long direction to where it wouldn't?
It's only about a diameter of about that big. So if it swells at 1%.
Expansion is just not much.
Yeah, it's not much.
You don't have to build that into the...
No, and if it develops a looseness over time, what I'm also going to do is I'll put a screw from the cuff into the wood and then weld over it. So you won't ever see that. This is no way it's going to slip and slide.
Oh, gotcha.
It might come loose over time, but it's not going to be loose enough to move around to make the chair feel like. Yeah. You know how you pick up an old stool and the legs are loose? You squirt a little glue in that crack and then it gets tight again. It might be like that. In fact, the stools in my kitchen are really beat up now. It's been 5 years. It's four tapered legs that are taper out from the top of the seat. And then I put a cuff on each one of the legs about 5 inches up and then welded all the rods between them, those cuffs. And it can't go down because it's tapered and it can't go up because it's tapered. But if you pick it up and feel it, it's slightly, there's a little bit of looseness to them because over time the wood has swollen and shrunk. But like I said, it's never going down and it can't go up because it's welded on a taper. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it does.
The idea of taking wood and welding right on the wood, which is something that most people in the world would be like, you can't weld on wood, it's going to burn. But live with what happens. Burn it and just see how the imperfections of it all, and just live with it and see what happens. It's natural. Can't be wrong if it's natural, right?
That's right.
Cool.
So I'm kidding about that, but I'm just going to experiment and see. When I've done it in the past, I wet the wood and then I welded it. Just it inhibits too much of the burn.
Oh, yeah.
But you get a little burn. And you could sand it out if you don't like the way it looks, but I might leave it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's all part of the process. It's just playing around and having fun. So that if I get that video done, that'll be out this Sunday.
Right on. Well, David, what have you been up to?
Well, if I'm being honest with myself and you guys, I am exhausted. I need a few days of not doing stuff. Last month I had 3 videos that were due, and that is about my max because, you know, I edit all my own videos. I do everything except for run the camera. And so it's the beginning of the month, and I don't have any videos that are due until later. So I'm taking it easy this week. I thought I was going to start our wedding rings. So every year I make new wedding rings. We retire the previous year. And I got all the supplies to do so. And then I decided to do lawn work instead and just catch up on some house stuff. So I don't really have anything to report on that's new. I have a couple of projects that are in the works, and I have a project that I want to do, and I think I know what the 2 videos that I need to do this month are going to be, but I'm just not motivated to do them right now.
Yeah.
And part of it feels like laziness, because for 11 years, I just did the work, and now it's kind of like, I don't want to do the work this week. And I don't know if you guys ever get to this point, but nothing that I do is hard. I don't claim that For the most part, what I do is pretty easy, but there's a lot of easy work and it takes all day every day. And so I'm kind of easing into this month.
I think, I've heard people say that, a dream job is still a job. And I think that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Work is work, whether it's hard work or work, it still takes attention, takes time. It takes you away from doing other things. I mean, and I feel that same thing that you mentioned about, you do a thing so often, if you feel like you want to take a break from it, that almost feels like you're being lazy. But I think that's just our nature to want to feel productive, and then our natural, I need to rest, fighting against that nature of feeling productive, and those two things kind of being at odds for a little bit. It does feel like you're being lazy, but I'm a true believer in that. To do your best, you have to rest. That was not supposed to rhyme, but it was actually pretty good. So I might put it on.
Beautiful. It was
but
beautiful.
I think to be able to do your best in anything, you have to have time where you're not doing it. You have to, as a father, as a husband, to be my best there, I have to have times where I'm not parenting. You know what I mean? Like, I need to go do something for myself. I need to go run. I need to do these other things to reset, to rest, so that I can actually be there and not be 100% distracted all the time. And I think it's the same thing with work. You have to have time off. It's good for you.
There's also part of me that worries, like, if I don't do the work that I need to do this week, that means the end of this month will be just as bad as the end of last month. And I repeat the cycle. So I need to just spend a day brainstorming smaller projects that still excite me and that could have potential to do well on YouTube as well. I could do a tips video, but I don't get excited to do a tips video. I could make, I need a serving tray. I could make a video about making a serving tray, but I'm not excited about making this video about a serving tray because it seems too simple. There's not a challenge in there yet. I don't know. I need quick wins. I need to figure out what those quick wins are because I complicate things the more I do something. Like, every project needs just a little bit of a challenge to get you excited about it. And so when you do woodworking over and over and over again, you find ways to complicate it.
So I'm going to push back. Man, I hear an echo in our headphones.
I do hear the echo. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody listening. It's Jimmy.
It's not me.
It's not actually him. We have some technical problem we can't seem to get rid of.
I'm sorry.
What was I saying? So push back a little bit on the last thing you said that I now can't remember. You said, small things. So I too have felt over the many years, I just need to sit down and come up with smaller things that I can do to give myself some margin. And those things occasionally work out. They occasionally are interesting to me to find something small to do. But I think more often than not for me, when I do that, I'm just trying to buy myself time. And I'm buying myself time with a less interesting topic, with a less interesting project. Instead of, and this is what I've been trying to do for a couple of years now, is to adjust my schedule to allow for more interesting things that are not, they don't have to be small. You know what I mean? I used to try to come up with ideas to fit in the gaps, just to build some sort of false margin that would eventually get taken away anyway. And so when I cut down the number of videos I was doing, part of that was like, I don't have to have as many pieces if the pieces have more time and the pieces get more attention and they have a little bit more margin. Now, it's different for everybody, so I'm not trying to project that on you, but I felt the same thing and I could not make that work. I could not come up with enough smaller ideas that were interesting to me or would be interesting to other people to be able to do that. I saw a video, this is maybe tangentially related. I came across this video a couple days ago from a guy I've never heard of. I know nothing about him, so take for what it's worth. A guy named Adam Ivey, and I didn't even look at his channel. I just watched this one video for some reason. But it's called The Creator Middle Class is Collapsing, and it's about 11 minutes. he's probably trying to sell his course or his something. But I think the way that he broke this video up was actually really interesting because he talked about these two people starting YouTube at the same time, and they grew to a certain point, and then one of them tried to do more of the same. One of them tried to do different things. And he talks about how, like, YouTube as a job, as a platform to get paid from, it's not what it was, I think maybe on purpose, and it's making it harder for people to continue, like we were talking about, to continue to do the thing that you love to do at the same pace. It just doesn't work the same as it used to because the system that you're working within that you don't control is growing in a different direction. It's changing for the different focus and stuff. And it was nothing that I had never heard before, but I think he actually had a really organized way of talking through it and about how the danger can be that we rely on trying to just make videos and not trying to build a business that has videos. And we've talked about this before, you know, but he said it well and kind of gave me a different, like, oh, like I need to be really careful not to just be a person that makes videos, because I think that is very, I don't know, dangerous. I think it's fragile. That's the word I was looking for. I think that's a fragile thing for us to continue to do, me to continue to do. Anyway, I'll put a link to it if anybody's interested. Stomped on what you were talking about.
No. For some reason, you know, if you've seen a video, YouTube would put a little red line on the bottom. And I was like, oh, I guess I watched this video before, but it doesn't look familiar. And then I think I'm looking at the thumbnail and there's a red line at the bottom of the thumbnail. Do you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so it confused me for a second. So
it probably doesn't work in his favor.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, I see occasionally a YouTube video will pop up as a suggested and it has a red line halfway through it. I'm like, I know I never watched this. Why are they making me think that I watched it? So I go to it to see if I thought I watched it. I definitely didn't watch it. I think it's a trick that YouTube does.
Do you have autoplay on? Autoplay is I hate autoplay on everything. Hulu, Netflix, YouTube. Do not autoplay. You're screwing up my recommendations.
Yeah.
So do sometimes think to myself, was that an autoplay that I missed? And it definitely wasn't. It's definitely not something I've ever seen. It's not even something that would be mentioned. But I think it's a trick. So don't be fooled.
Mm. So anyway, you're taking a break this week, David. Is that?
Yes. Good. I had every intention of starting the rings yesterday while my brother was here. And then I was like, you know what? It's a warmer fall day. The sun is out. Let's go take care of some of the things that need to be taken care of before winter. Mm. And so probably against my brother's wishes, we did yard work instead of video work.
That's good. I mean, I think it's good to take a break.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's good to take a break when you know you need to. It's probably good to take a break when you don't know that you need to as well. But that's harder to see. You know, but I think more often than not, we probably should have a little bit.
Do you guys ever think of a vague excuse to get in your car and go for like a 20-mile drive?
I used to a lot when I was younger. I don't
That's
think
like
I've
a
done
mental
that
break.
In years.
Yeah. I would say to Rachel once in a while, she's like, where are you going? I go, I just have to go for a drive. And I'll drive all the way to Catskill just to buy a spring from Harbor Freight that I know I have. But it's really just a drive. It's just a thinking drive, a sort of a meditative drive. Inspirational. Yeah. Look around, see what's out. There are times that go by, and the day before yesterday was one of them. At the end of the day, I was like, I never even got my car today. I didn't even start my car. I didn't have to go anywhere. Tomorrow, I have to make sure I go somewhere just to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And my lease is up in a couple weeks, and I have 14,000 miles on it, which I get 10,000 miles a year. So I'm like under half of the miles. I might go 3 days without getting in my truck at all.
Mm. Yeah. I end up being at home for a day or two. And if I do end up leaving the house, it's like just to take a kid to a practice or go pick up somebody or something. It's not really because I have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But so I had an interesting little little thing happened a couple days ago. I've been out working on the pool house.
Yeah.
And it's moving along nicely. I had some like water leak issues on the around the base of it that I was able to solve, and no big deal. But I was out there working, and my neighbor, who I've known my entire life, she walked over and said, there was an estate sale happening two houses down from us last week. And she said, I was at the estate sale, and the city inspector was there, building inspector, and he saw your building, and he told me he was going to send you a nasty letter.
Because you didn't
have a permit for it. She was like, I just want to let you know, just expect that that's coming. And I said, well, what was his name? So she gave me his name. I immediately called him and left a message for him. And I was like, hey, you know, I heard you had a concern about my building. It's 163 square feet. Anything under 200, you don't have to have a permit for, I was told. So, you know, I just want to let you know, like, I checked into this and there's no...
Then poo-poo.
And if you need anything, just call me back. And I was trying to be real like, hey, it's no big deal. Just trying to save you some trouble. And he called back, and it was funny because I knew it was him when he was calling back because of the description and the thing. And I was like, hey, this is Bob, you know, and like, hey, what's up? And
hey,
he
buddy.
Like, hi, my name is, and he said his name and he sounded like he was going to be all like grumpy and stuff. And so I just tried to, you know, hey, cool. It's good to hear from you. Did you get my message? And then he immediately switched. He was like, oh yeah, thanks for calling. You actually saved me a mailing and I didn't have to do this. And we just had a couple of concerns because you didn't pull a permit, but now you told me about the square footage and yeah, that's good. And then he was like, well, what about the roof on the side over the pool equipment? And I said, well, I called your office and I asked about this whole thing. And they said that the square footage was just the framed walls, the exterior of the framed walls of the building, not the roof line. And I said, I don't remember the lady's name, but I spoke to a lady in your office and that's what she told me. And so, and he was like, well, I think you might've gotten some incorrect information there, but what? I can talk to the city planner and it's a pool house. I don't think it'll be a big deal. And I'm like, well, it's not documented anywhere. I didn't say this to him, but I was like, it's not documented anywhere. And I called and talked to somebody in the office at the city about it. And that's the information I got. So if that's not correct, you all have a problem. Like you need to have it documented. Anyway, so he said, I'll talk to the planner and I don't think it'll be a big deal. He's like, the other issue is that it's right up against your property line and you have an easement. And I said, well, actually, we don't have a utility easement on the back of the property. It's just on the sides. And he was like, oh, well, I got your thing here. Let me just, oh yeah, you're right. You're right. And I was like, I promise you, I'm not trying to get away with anything. I called
right.
And asked about all this stuff because I was trying to do it the right way. It just didn't need a permit. And he was like, oh, okay, well, you know, what about the roof? How big is the roof overhang? That's 16 inches all the way around. Okay, well, it's like he was looking for something, you know, he's like, and I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. He was not being gruff or like pushy. It was just like, I guess he's used to having an authority over something and, you know, when he couldn't find something that he could enforce or complain about, or he was just like, okay, well, I've got your number. I'll call you back if there's a problem. I'm like, cool. Sounds good. I appreciate the help. You know, I was trying to be real thankful that it wasn't a big deal, but now I'm on the radar. So now I'm expecting... You know, I've never dealt with these people before, but I just know inspectors in general, city officials in general, want to be included. They want to have authority. Mm. They want to be able
to. You better start shopping for a Komatsu bulldozer soon.
Mm. Man, if I had to take that down, we would have a pretty serious problem.
No.
But anyway, I kind of imagine that I'm still going to get a call about something and they're going to be keeping an eye on everything soon, but.
Are you going to have electric in it? Is that going to be another concern? That was my question.
That probably will be a concern, but he didn't ask about it. So as of now,
would you need an electrical
permit?
There are
no plans for electrical. As of now.
You need a plug. You need a lamp.
Oh, I know. But it doesn't matter. As of now, there are no plans. There's a panel in where the pool equipment is. They put in a sub panel there. And so eventually, you know, I'll probably run a circuit or two. And I don't have a lot of extra headroom in that. as far as the voltage. So I can't do much. Like, I don't plan on doing, I'm not going to run like a kiln out there or anything.
Right.
But I will have to probably have some exterior lights eventually. But when he asks about that now, for now,
you could.
Have no plan.
It's a storage shed.
You could. I've always wanted to experiment with them. And you get those little solar packages out of Northern. Did you ever see the Northern catalog, which is like a, it's like a, it's like Harbor Freight on steroids.
Tool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always have like a little bit more beefier, crazier tools. They sell these solar packages for like a little hut in the middle of nowhere. So you could buy different wattages of a solar package for little independent buildings. So you could at least charge a phone and have lights. At the very least, I don't think you could run any equipment off of these things, but for a few thousand dollars, you could buy a whole system. Comes with the battery bank and the solar panels and whatever else you need to make a little solar generated system.
I saw a video, and I can't remember the guy's name. We talked about it at one point on here. It's like 8-bit something. But anyway, it was a guy who had a little shed in his backyard that he was using for his studio or something. And he had a video about using those big battery banks, like the EcoFlow kind of battery things, and putting in just enough solar on the roof. And it actually wasn't that much to be able to charge two of these throughout the day. And then when he was in there at night doing his work, he had enough power to, you know. And so my roof is not facing the optimal direction for solar, but I think I could probably still get something out of it. So that might be an option in the future. And I may tell him that because I may be able to get more out of a solar system than I could out of the existing sub panel that's there, because it was really just put in for the pool stuff, you know, which has a certain load that it needs. So anyway, no problems yet, but just...
You're not getting any pushback from the neighbors, obviously, I would hope.
No, they're great. Because it was my grandfather's house, they lived there before my grandfather built the house, and like a year or two. And so they've been there from the very beginning. And then I went to school with their daughter, and she was a year or two behind me in school. So we grew up together. So I've known them forever, you know, and we have a really good relationship with them. And when I was thinking about building it, I actually went over there, and he's an engineer. And so I went over and asked him a bunch of questions, and I tried to get his feedback on the square footage thing, like what's included, you know, and he said, well, they've never been very clear about that. And I'm like, yeah, imagine that. So anyway, they're great, and I don't have any problems from them, but hopefully I won't have any problems from the city either. We'll see. But it was kind of a new thing. But I did get some stuff done on the building. I got the door installed yesterday. The windows are all in. It's... you know, I've got foam in all the gaps and in between the rafters and everything. So it's like technically sealed in, I think, which is pretty cool. And now I'm at a point where I have to start ordering all of the metal for the roof and just all the different flashing pieces and the overlap pieces and the eave things. And it's, I want somebody to just write me a list. So you need all of these things in these lengths. Go get this. That would be handy, but. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I've been up to. This is funny. Yesterday, my oldest son is a senior in high school, and he asked me last week if he could job shadow me. All the seniors were supposed to job shadow for this
one
day of the week. And it was weird because they didn't have to like qualify that they were job shadowing anybody. They didn't have to get permission. They didn't have to turn anything in. It was basically like a senior skip day, I think. But they were saying, yeah, go job shadow somebody. Anyway, he asked if he could job shadow me. And so yesterday he came down with me and I showed him, you know, just like answering emails and shipping orders and all this basic stuff. And we built a list at the beginning of the day. These are all the things that I have to shoot today. These are I have to shoot this thumbnail and I have to do this ad and I have to do all this. Here's my list. First thing we're going to do is go install this door. I'd already gotten the door installed, but we had to go like add the shims and get it squared and all of the detail stuff. And I'm like, this will be maybe 30 minutes, an hour tops. I was out there for 2.5 hours trying to get this stupid door to work correctly. Meanwhile, he's just like, what is that?
Sorry, that was my printer.
Oh, it sounded like bagpipes.
That's what it sounds like.
Anyway, he was out there for like 2.5 hours and him just standing there next to me going like, does it usually take this long? Like, no, it doesn't usually take this long.
I got things to do.
Oh, it was such a pain because it was supposed to be a quick little thing that we weren't even filming, you know, because it was like I talked to the camera and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put some shims in to make sure it's square. Stop recording. And then I had to do it and it took forever. But I think it's a good segue into our kind of topic we had because I had a plan for the day. I had a certain number of things that normally I would have been able to get through them all and get them all done. But something that I wasn't expecting just offset my entire day.
Yeah.
And I got 20% of what I needed to get done in the day.
Yeah.
And you brought this up, Jimmy, from, how did you say it? I don't remember exactly how you said it.
Well, just, I often set goals for myself for the day, but when I look back at this week and I look at the chair that I'm building, it's walnut, it's steel, and it's leather. So I had already prepped over the weekend gluing the chair parts together. So it's two chair sides that are going to be connected by steel, and then you would sit on leather straps or leather slings. And in my mind, I said, okay, all day today is the wood, which is only going to be a few hours, prepping the wood and rounding it. So I had already glued it together. So the wood's all going to get rounded and smoothed, and all the joints are going to get smoothed into one another. It looks very amorphous. It's smooth, and all the curves roll right into one another. And I knew that I only had a few hours. That would only require a few hours. So I had the whole day to do yard work, do some leather work, go back and forth. But in my mind, the overarching goal for the entire day was to make sure that the two chair sides were prepped. And that was yesterday. And today, my overarching goal for the day is to get the steel done, which is there'll be three steel ribs holding it left to right. And that's all going to be blacksmith. So I got to prepare, got to go outside, do it in the backyard where the blacksmith shop is, figure out my shots there, how I'm going to bring them back in and weld them onto the wood, how I'm going to do that. And then tomorrow is going to be leather, preparing the leather and how I'm going to get it to fit and doing like a test piece out of paper to make sure that fits. So I mapped these all out in my head. And in my mind, I know that's not going to be a full day's worth of work. So I also start thinking, what can I do in between? I can play a little bit on the tow truck, get some stuff done. So I have a, the thought is how you plan what you can get done in one day. And that's how I brought that conversation up. And sometimes, because of my OCD, if in the beginning of the day I plan this part is going to be done no matter what happens, I could sometimes still be out there before I go to sleep at 2, 3 in the morning trying to get that done so that when I go to bed, I could say, I had all day to get that done. Even though I got it done late into the night, I got it done. So I do that from time to time. Well, pretty much mostly every day. So I'll say this much of the project has to get done by the end of the day. And I made a joke. I said, sometimes I look at the clock and I say, okay, by 2 o'clock, these three things are going to be done. And when 2 o'clock comes and those three things are done, I made a joke. I said, now my weekend begins. I could spend another 3 hours just scrolling because I got my goal done. And then 5 o'clock comes and I got to come up with a new plan for, to have get done by 9 o'clock. So this is how my mental works. Even though I'm not good on spreadsheets or writing anything down, my brain does have a big magnet board, and I'm always shifting things around on that magnet board in my brain for the day. And I'll do these overarching goals, say by Friday, XYZ has to get done. So those are always the last in line at the end of every day because it's not Friday yet. But come Friday morning, that becomes a priority, gets moved up on the magnet board in my brain.
Now, you've talked about in the past, like sticky notes and how you had these big mm-hmm. boards of sticky notes and stuff in the shop. Do you still do that? Because that felt, oh.
This is a sticky note for me to do a video from 2 years ago. That's I do sticky notes, and I have three pads, sticky note pads in front of me. I do a lot of sticky notes. Still, they fluctuate where I don't do any for a while, then I start doing them a lot. But what
but
I have
like
now,
long term things, not within a day. Stuff to accomplish.
Yeah. And what I do now more than anything is I have these pads everywhere I go now. It's like this OCD, real OCD of mine. And random thoughts I write down on the pad. So I have them in the leather shop. I have them in the kitchen. I have them here and I have them in my workshop, the TV barn. And I'll go to them and they'll see random notes on them. And I never throw the page away. I tear it off and stick it in the back. And I occasionally get to the very last writable page when the whole stack is behind it. I tear a page off and stick it in the back and tear it off and stick it in the back. And so it's almost like a diary. I do also keep a notebook where I want to, I usually write in my notebook when I'm on an airplane or I'm on a long trip where I'm not at the driving wheel. I don't typically day-to-day write in those notebooks like the journals. I write on these random pages. And if I draw something I think is cool, I'll take a picture of it so then it's in my phone. So if the page gets lost, it's not a big deal, but at least I have it. So yeah, that's I like the idea of a magnet board in my brain. And I always think, because now that I'm going to be 59 in April, and I think to myself, when is that day that that magnet board is just, it's like a computer with like water poured on it. Like, when is it going to be, the older I get, when is my magnet board just going to stop being magnetic? I'm going to be acutely aware of when my memory starts to fade.
Yeah. But I think at that point, that probably will happen slowly to all of us. And I think you can start adjusting your approach, you know, as that happens, to put it down on paper more, or find another, you know, put it in your phone, or find another solution to.
It's almost like
it's easier.
I had a mute to cough, but when you,
you're
when,
muted.
Am I muted still?
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. I had a cough. I worry. This is a different this is a different episode, but I often worry, or at least I try to be aware of that moment where I'm just shuffling around, moving stuff around. Like, I watched my dad get to that point where his daily goals were just moving stuff around to clear spot for more stuff. Not that my dad was, when I say my dad was a hoarder, I'm not joking. He was a hoarder. I'm not like my dad in that way. I do have a lot of things, but I give a lot of stuff away, and I'm like, in a minute, I'll change everything around. But I really don't believe I'm like my dad. Like, I'm not buying blenders. Buying useful, expensive things. At my dad's house, we threw away so much stuff. Like, about 95%, maybe 98% of the stuff my dad had was not worth keeping. It was either given away or thrown away. My brother always says, he goes, when we have to clear your house out, he goes, I don't know what to do. I was like, just call up the maker community and just give it all away. So I go, you could sell it if you wanted, but you don't know what to do with it. Anyway, I forgot the point I was making. I guess the point I was making was, now that I'm getting older, and occasionally we go to these picks, me and Rob will go to these picks where it's some guy like me that had a lot of stuff. And in the end, you could see where he just started sunsetting and not putting stuff away. And then the stuff is just all discombobulated. I always wonder when that time's going to be for me. When I get to the point where I'm just like shuffling around amongst all my stuff that's like completely disorganized.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said there for, like, you know, getting ahead of that. And before you get to that point, starting to organize it in a way that makes it easier for other people to handle you, or start getting rid of it now. I, you know, collect a lot of stuff. You can see behind me, I have a lot of toys and things like that. And I've tried to be conscious of not over collecting that stuff, even though I like it, because I know that I will have to deal with it, or somebody else will have to deal with it. Eventually.
There's been when me and my sister and my brother, I have two brothers, but John lives in California, so he hasn't been part of the recovery of my dad's house. We're just about to sell. I think we took an offer. My sister's in charge, so we took an offer to sell my dad's house. So I think that might go soon. But when we were dealing with it, it's really funny. My sister and I were sending stuff back and forth. There was a lot of Generation X having to deal with their parents' stuff. It was a lot of memes and stuff. It's just a weird timing how it's exactly what me and my sister and my brother had to deal with all my dad's stuff. It's like Gen X, try not to dump this on your millennial kids. Try not to leave them saddled with a house full of garbage and Christmas decorations and things that are completely useless. Like blenders and deep fryers and toasters and crock pots and
It's funny. I had a lunch with a friend yesterday, and I was telling him, like, in my autobiography right now is this chapter is called My Mental Decline Years, because it, it feels like I really have to rely on my notes to remember things. Maybe I've always been this way, but working for other people, you know, when you have a boss, you have somebody else is keeping track of what you need to do. Now that I have to keep track of what I have to do, maybe that list just gets too big, but I can't remember anything. Without notes, I will completely fail. I need my calendar and I need my note app. I don't have a magnetic mental board in my head because it would not work. I just don't operate that way.
Yeah, I kind of do, but then I find I'm with you. I find more and more that it helps me to. I have this little sticky pad, you know, on my desk, and just to be able to like offload stuff. I feel like maybe it's safer. You know, if it's written down there, I can come back to it. I don't necessarily have
that's
to remember.
That's a good way to put it. I offload thoughts.
Yeah, because I think there is something, and we've talked about this before, but I think there is something. There is a certain load to trying to remember everything. Mm-hmm. And to trying to have like stuff that you know you need to do, but you can't do at this moment. If it's hanging out here, it is taking up space somehow, some sort of load that I don't understand. You know, being able to just put it down somewhere offloads that for me. But
I don't use sticky notes. I use blank playing cards and I just write them because they fit in my pocket real easy. So yeah, I can write a list on there and they fit in my pocket.
Those are great. I from the paper chopper, from the print shop, I cut them into squares and I use them a lot. I have a piece sitting right here. But I just realized a way to articulate, I guess, kind of the vague thoughts that really brought up this topic. It's my goals throughout the day, what they really are tent poles throughout the day, so that I could do my ADHD behavior in between all of them. So if I know by 2 o'clock I have to get this part of the chair done, I'll walk around the yard, try and start a lawnmower that hasn't started in a while, realize it needs gas, go find a gas can and realize the gas can has no gas, get in the quad won't start, so I fix the starter on the quad, go down to the gas station and see if they have good food that I like. Every once in a while, they make the sandwich I like, go inside, get the sandwich, and then now it's like an hour and a half later when I try to start the lawnmower, but I look at the clock and I go, oh, you know what? By 3 o'clock, I wanted to get that other part done on the chair. Quick, let me get the gas. I go back, I start the lawnmower, that's done.
This, yeah. You just spoke to my inner soul.
And
right
then
there.
At 3 o'clock, I get that part of the chair done. And then I'm like, everything's vindicated. Because I got the chair part done, I was able to walk around the yard, accidentally cut one of the electrical boxes that stick out because I started the lawnmower. Then I call Patrick. I go, Patrick, I broke your work. I'm sorry. He's like, don't worry about it. It's simple. We can fix it when I get there. And then I can look at it, go get, this has all happened to me a couple of days ago. I'm like, why aren't I not in the workshop doing what the goal is? And I'm like, oh, because I still have 3 hours to get it done. Oh, so
yeah,
I get back
to
try.
You wait till the last second. Wait till the last second to do everything.
Yeah. And then I walk down the path. I have this path that we call it the path. It goes between the TV show barn and the backyard. And I look and I say, oh, the light bulbs are out on the string. You know what? I remember a couple of weeks ago, I saw that box of light bulbs. And then I go to the barn, I'm looking for the box of light bulbs. And then I find the welding helmet. And I hold it up to the, like, the battery's dead in the welding helmet. Then I open the drawer and I'm looking for the quarter-size battery to put in the welding helmet to make sure that that welding helmet now works, even though I haven't touched it in 2 years. And I get it working. I put it down. I'm like, oh, the light bulbs. And then I go and then I walk outside. I'm like, oh, I used the ladder 2 days ago. It's over at the house. So I go over to the house. I get the light. This is what my day is like in between me getting cool things done on Instagram. Patrick could tell you this exactly. Rob could tell you too. This is what it's like. And like Rob's like comes up. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nah, I'm trying to get this blower to work. Why don't you just use the battery one? I'm like, I know, but this should work. It's here. It should work. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah. It's like being in, you're in like nested parentheses. Like you do a thing and then you do another thing and then you do another thing and another thing. Yeah. And then you got to work your way out by solving all of those problems that you.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a good title. And we didn't do it on the after show. Don't know what that
that's
means. True.
That's usually where that happens. I mean, so I kind of ran into the same thing this morning. I didn't go for a run. I'm going to do it after. And that is part of how I set up my day is like, you know, I really should run before I start working. And then if I don't, it kind of like messes up the rest of my, you know, I got to find a spot for it. whatever. Anyway, I didn't do it this morning. So I had like 30 minutes before we started recording. And I said, I'm going to go down and just start cleaning my office and just tidy up. No big goals, no, just going to tidy up. So I sit down at the desk to start tidying up my desk. And I'm like, oh, look, I sold something on eBay. Cool. Well, I should just put that in the mail for them real quick. So then I did the little shipping thing and then tried to print the shipping label. And I can't print it on my label printer because that's at a different computer in a different room. And for some reason, it's not shared on the network. So I went in there and tried to share it on the network. I could see it on this computer, but I couldn't actually print it because the paper size was listed incorrectly. And then I had to figure out how to copy that and take it into that room so I could print it on that computer. It was like so stupid. And then I couldn't find anything to wrap up the thing with bubble wrap to put it in a box. And it took 30 minutes, like all of the time that I had to be productive and to do something useful, completely gone. And I got one thing done. So I'm with you. Like I still fall into the same thing. And my office is still a wreck. You know, it has been, will be forever. But I mean, I ran into that too. And I think writing down the list of stuff that I want to get done in a day never gets done in a day. But the list stays, for me at least, it stays in one place. It's like at this stays on my desk. And so every day when I come in here, I look at what's not scribbled through from yesterday. And that becomes the first things that I have to try to do today. And then I just add more to that list, you know, as I go. And then when I fill up the paper, I just move on to the next one. But I don't think it's a great system, but it is something, because then I don't feel like I'm having to retain, because I'm likely to forget that I have to shoot this thumbnail in time to have it ready when we need it, you know, but if it's at least written down somewhere, it helps. So I usually don't have, like you, it sounds like, Jimmy, you set a goal for, I have to get this one thing done, and then its actual priority kind of bounces around through the day depending on, but you still get it done at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Whereas I think I probably usually, if I have a priority thing, that's the first thing I'm going to tackle, and I'm going to work on that until I can get it done. And then if there's extra time, I'll try to do the other stuff on the list. But I don't know. At the same time, when my son was down here yesterday, he was like, okay, so what does your day look like? You know, he's job shadowing me. I'm like, well, my day is never the same, ever. Like never, ever, ever. So what I'm doing right now and what we have to do this morning, it will be different. And it could change halfway through the morning if I hear from, you know, a sponsor that needs reshoots on something or a talking point needs to be added or whatever, like that can change the entire direction of the day. Which I don't mind that things are fluid and that they change all the time. But I do like to check things off the list and feel like I'm actually accomplishing stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which yesterday I did not.
When you make an actual list, do you put stupid things on the list? Like, you know, you're going to check email.
I always do that.
But I put it on the list anyway because it's so satisfying to check that off.
I do that all the time. I'm like, do I really need to put this on? Yeah, but I should, just because it looks like I have more things to do.
Right.
Well, do you ever get so anxious that you're like, I need to make a list, and you grab a book and grab a list, and then the only thing you could write down is like, go to the mailbox.
The only thing you write down is make a list.
Yeah, because you're like, wait, I don't know, why am I feeling so anxious? I don't have that many complicated things to do. So that's when you like purge, you like make a list, breathe, wear the comfortable shoes. You know, you're like, write stupid stuff like that down.
I don't know that that's stupid. I mean, it's not as like, you know, it's maybe not the things that have the mental load that I was talking about, the things that are really important, but it is still, it gives you a plan of attack. And if you feel overwhelmed with the number of things you have to do, even a simple plan of attack is still a plan of attack. It's still a way to prepare yourself by removing the little things so that you can do bigger things. I don't think that's stupid. I think that's just a different way to, it's a different level of detail, you know?
Right.
It's not good or bad. I mean,
but what's stupid about it is,
it's not stupid. <I'm just kidding. laughs>
But what's stupid about it is, I'll put check email on the list, and I check the email, and then I get to tick that off. I'm like, that's a win. And then somebody else will email me later in the day, Bob.
Yeah.
I have to uncheck that box.
Email is stupid.
Email is stupid. Maybe it's not the list. Maybe it's the email.
Well, that's absolutely. I have a reminder on my phone and computer and everything that says exercise every day, every morning. And it's, I know that I need to exercise, but I still have it remind me in case I neglected it like I did today. It's still going to pop up and irritate me. And every time I check it off, it like checks and then moves to the top of the list for tomorrow. And I know it's going to be unchecked. It's going to pop back up unchecked. Yeah. And so it's the same thing, you know, but
I have a reminder to go to sleep every night.
To do something, then, yeah. Say that again.
I have a reminder to go to sleep every night at 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m. Wow.
That every used night to be my bedtime. Now it's midnight.
2 a.m. A phone will say, bing, bong, bedtime. I'm like, but I'm not done yet.
Any other thoughts on this, on trying to get stuff done in a day, trying to be productive, trying to make lists, anything? No.
I said, just allow yourself to be distracted. Yeah. So that thing that you put on the list, you just get done at the last second. Because it feels good when you wait till the very last minute to do the thing and then you still get it done before the deadline. That feels good. That's a win.
Or get it done first and then you feel like you've got it out of the way and you've got plenty of free time to do other stuff. But whatever.
But like Jimmy says, you get it done first and then you take the rest of the day off.
Oh, man. I just go to the next thing in the list. But yeah, different ways to do it. Cool. Well, big thanks to our Patreon supporters who support the show. They're awesome, especially our top supporters. They kind of go above and beyond. And I always want to say thank you to them. That's Works by Solo, Warren Works, the new Janky Workshop, Scott, a Daddy Yourself DIY. Oh, there's a bug in here. That's cool. Rich at Low End Design. Pete Rondeau, Odin Leather Goods, Nick Ryan, Michael Manegin, Matthias Garnow, Corey Ward, Chad from Mancrafting, Albers Woodworks, and A Pretty Big Deal, Inc. But we have lots of other people that support at other levels. People like, let's see here, Charles Yost. Charles has been supporting since 2019. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
We appreciate it. Everybody gets the after show at every level. So, you know, you don't have to support at the top levels. That's just, we're just grateful for that. But everybody gets the after show. You get that link through Patreon, and it's a separate RSS feed you can put in your podcast player. There's also links there for the video after show if you'd rather watch us than listen to us. Well, watch us and listen to us rather than just listen to us. That'd be weird if the after show was just video with no audio. That's a terrible idea. Okay, anyway, go to patreon.com/makingit. Help us out if you want to. We are very, very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anything to recommend this week?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I was going to recommend the Martin Scorsese HBO documentary.
Oh.
And I mentioned it before. But the reason it stands out to me is because how many ups and downs his career has had. And, you know, me getting older, I sometimes feel like I got to keep reinventing myself. And all the ups and downs he went through. Rachel kept reminding me. She's like, see? He thought he was over. See, because he kept saying that. He goes, that's it. My career is over. He said that several times throughout the interview when he had a down movie and then he always had a comeback. And I don't have the type of career he has. But, you know, in my own little world, sometimes I feel like, well, that's it. I'm done. Time to go work at Dollar General. But that obviously never really happens. But the thought does come across my mind.
Yeah.
If I work at the Milk Run, I could really be. Could really be
free sandwiches.
Best stock boy there. I think I could really do a good job. But check it out. It's interesting. And then obviously there's so many Martin Scorsese movies that we've all known. And there's a lot in there that I never even heard of that they talk about.
Cool.
Well, I did not come prepared for this podcast. I did not have a thing to work on and I don't have a pick. And I'm going through my history and I'm like, I didn't watch anything interesting in the last
week. I'm groaning
week, so.
Because that's me every other week. So I'm just being sarcastic. Yeah. I'll give you a pass, man. I'll give you a pass. Somebody sent me this. I can't remember who sent me this. Anthony, Brandon, somebody sent me a video called Building the Impossible Lightsaber. And it's this guy who has been building lightsabers and trying to make them work. Not like fire, but, you know, like a prop that will light up and the blade will come out and go back and stuff. And he's done a few different versions. This one is really cool. It has a, you know, like a magician's cane, the spiral.
The spring pops out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that, but it has an LED thing inside of it. And so it has a motor on the inside that can make this thing extend and light up at the same time. And then it has to spin to stay rigid. So this magician's cane has to, it's stronger when it's spinning and tight. So it has to spin to stay tight, which makes the light on the inside of it flicker, which looks more like a lightsaber. It's really, really cool.
Really cool.
Like huge amount of work that this person put into this thing. So, yeah, go check that out. It's pretty neat just to see, well, like whether you like Star Wars or not, it's pretty neat to see the amount of effort somebody's willing to put into something like that. Yeah.
Have you cool, guys, yeah. That reminds me, because I'm thinking of the robots on Star Wars. Have you seen, I haven't seen it, I've only seen the clips, Whistling Diesel bought a robot and he's having it do stuff. I haven't seen the full episode, but it's so funny. Like he buys this, whatever, $40,000 robot he abuses and it runs into the mirror. It keeps running into the mirror. It keeps seeing itself and running. It thinks the mirror is a hallway. It just keeps running into the mirror. And then he tries to teach it to make breakfast and it's like throwing the pan around. It just looks so funny.
Yeah. I saw that clip. It was like somebody else had clipped it from
his
video.
Yeah, like you could tell when he has a big viral video, it's always getting clipped by some other news agency.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, I meant to mention this earlier and it never came up. In case anybody doesn't know, the company Canva, I guess, bought Affinity. And Affinity is a company that made, for a long time, made a program called Designer and one called Editor or something. I don't know. It was like basically a Photoshop and an Illustrator replacement. And they were like $50. Really good software. We bought them a few years ago. It's a great, there's no subscription. It was $50 for each one of these things. Last week, they announced that they were combining those products together and adding another one. So it basically, the new program is called Affinity. It has graphic design, it has photo editing and page layout, and it's 100% free forever. And I had just canceled my Adobe subscription because I was like, I barely use Illustrator and that's the only thing I use. I'm paying all this money every year. I'll just cancel it. And then if I need Illustrator, I'll just subscribe to Illustrator. And the next day they announced this thing and it's awesome. I mean, like I don't know how to use it as well as I've used the other tools, but it's free, like completely free. And it's not like a skimpy, you know, thinned down version of the software. They just took software that already worked that I had used before, put it in the same interface and gave it away for free. So if you're a creative person, you don't want to pay for Adobe stuff, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I mean, I think they're going to give Adobe a run for their money for sure.
Good deal.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else? No. Oh, cool. All right. Oh, Jimmy, you're muted. That's why there was no sound.
I said, I'll tell a funny skunk story in the after show.
That sounds fun.
We had a skunk.
Cool.
Skunk problem.
Skunk problem. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Catch you next time.
Love you.